So first, I'll just kind of, you've all read this in your packets, but just to bring everybody up to speed so we're all on the same page moving into the meeting. As you're aware, of course, census data is collected every decade, and it generally takes about 3 years for all of that data to be distilled down to the fine enough points that are necessary for us to begin this kind of review of our election districts. So based on the 2010 census, the actual population for Berlin at that time was 4,385. Now as of 2013, the adjusted number that they have issued is 4,496. And those adjustments are something that they do every few years. Exactly what their criteria for adjustment is, I'm not 100% sure, but that's, you'll typically see that throughout the decade, these new adjusted numbers. So, based on the number of 4,496, we are looking for an ideal population in an election district of 1,124 people, and that is people. It's not based on registered voters. It's not based on those over the age of 18. For a population as small as Berlin, we just look at flat numbers of population. Ideally, any of our districts should be within 5% of each other. So based on 1124, no district should be more than 56 higher or lower than any other. In starting to review the redistricting process, one of the first things I did was contact Worcester County and ask them what kind of time frame they were looking at to get the data. And they indicated that they needed the redistricted numbers by mid-January, which put us on somewhat of a tight but not impossible schedule, considering that this information isn't even available until mid-2013. So, but we've worked some things out and hopefully got some plans here that you can look at. Just to give you a little bit of history and remind, I think most of you were here when we did the 2000 redistricting. At that point, we were very fortunate. We had Sandy Koyman, who was both an employee of Worcester County Planning and a town resident, who was able to sit with us and go through the process on a very one-on-one basis, made things very, very simple for us. Fortunately, we don't have that anymore. So what we needed to do was contact the Maryland Department of Planning. The Maryland Department of Planning was very, very easy to work with. However, they are coming out of Baltimore, so that somewhat limits their availability to us. But sort of mid-November, I met with a woman from the Maryland Department of Planning State Clearinghouse Redistricting Office. That's what they do, is redistricting. She actually came here to Berlin, and we sat in the room utilizing the software she has available to her and started basically playing with the lines and seeing what the impact on the numbers would be. So the first plan that she and I came up with was what is in your packet as plan number one. Actually, I'm going to back up a minute. We'll go back and we'll take a look at some of the actual numbers so that you can see what we were looking at. Table one in your packet is the actual breakdown of the numbers for the first section of that report is the 2010 census numbers as applied to the 2004 election districts. So in other words, because the last map that we adopted was 2004, and we haven't made any amendments to that map, that is effectively still our election district map. So as you can see in looking through those numbers over the last 10 years, the populations of those districts have gotten quite out of whack. In a town the size of Berlin, it only takes an addition of 10 or 15 houses in one area to really throw the numbers off. And as you know, we've had several additions such as Decatur Farms, which obviously had a huge impact. And then some of the smaller areas, such as the cottages of Berlin. I think Purnell Crossing has been within the last 10 years. So these small groups really do have a big impact on the numbers when you compare them one to the other. So that gives you an idea of why we really do need to review these numbers and make adjustments at this point. So as we looked at plan number, and I'm sorry, I can't quite get everything on the screen and have it quite large enough to really be able to see well. As we reviewed the numbers for plan number one, made some adjustments to the boundaries, we came up with the second grouping of numbers that's on your table one. All acceptable numbers, they're within the acceptable ranges that they don't deviate from each other by more than 5%. So we had that set of numbers and we decided, okay, we'll call that plan one and we'll move on. When we then began to review the numbers a little bit further, we developed the map and the numbers for what is plan two in your packet. And you can see from those numbers that we actually got a lot closer to the ideal, but we had to make some more changes to the boundary lines. What became the biggest concern to those boundary lines was the realization that we were essentially unseating two incumbent council members. And based on that, we then developed plan three, which was the same configuration of boundaries. We just flip-flopped districts three and four, if that makes sense.
Change the number.
Right. Where district four previously was geographically became district three and vice versa. The numbers all stayed the same, except of course that they switched with the boundaries. And that is what we felt in the end was the best plan, best numbers, and the best way to deal with the, thank you, the situation of the incumbents.
I can't
see
that. It's too small.
Too small. Let me see if I can. Maybe I can pull it up.
You need to go back to plan two.
Okay.
And the statement that you would not see two current council.
Yes. If we moved the boundaries the way that we anticipated in plan two, what we would end up doing, and I'll try to bring this up so that it's in enough detail that you can see. In a nutshell, and I'm going to be a little bit off, but Councilmember Brittingham lives in this area, where the small hand is on the screen. And Councilmember Burrell lives in this area. So as you can see, this area would become yellow, or District 3, and this area would become green, or District 4.
Oh, so you wouldn't be living in where you would be.
Right. Therefore, Councilmember Brittingham would be living in District 4 and Councilmember Burrell in District 3, which would effectively...
You'd have to have another election.
Yes, you'd have to have another election.
An election between elections.
Correct. Correct.
That doesn't make good sense.
I need to see this.
Okay. Well, I've hashed it green over yellow to indicate that the green would be the new color.
Go ahead up there.
Yeah, go ahead and
show them where the cowboy
is. There we go.
I know where you live.
See your house? If you're right in there, close to that.
B.
Where that line is.
Where?
Where the B is on Branch Street. Go look in that area. You should be right.
Yeah, it's
here.
Go higher. Is this right there? That's you.
Yeah, it's you.
That's South Street.
Yes.
And then Roy would be up there in the green and the yellow.
Yeah,
the green lines
Roy.
Would be yellow.
But he turned into green.
Right.
He's going to turn into yellow.
Got it.
So you switch the numbers and it's all good. Easy as that.
That's basically the rather than trying to completely re-examine the numbers, which would be difficult because the council members chose to live right on where a border would end up, we trying to reconfigure all those numbers would be not impossible, but it would make things more difficult. And so by flip-flopping the districts, were able to maintain the incumbent seats, maintain the positive population numbers that we're looking for.
Well, I'm going to be right on the border if we do three.
We're actually going to get to that in a couple of minutes.
First part of my street.
Yes.
Not me.
But I think we can resolve that, because I don't think it would, by eliminating that, it wouldn't affect the balance at all.
Right.
But they're just trying to be as precise as possible. But it, to me, it would make no sense whatsoever, practically or financially, to not switch the numbers. Because then you have to have a special election.
Right.
The incumbents would be forced to run an election and then turn around in less than 6 months and run in another one.
Well, you could delay the process a little bit, and it would save you one special election, but you would still have to incorporate a special component into the regular election for one of the seats.
But the alternative, as I see it, it looks like the District 3 becomes a minority-majority district.
Yes.
And so it retains everything we have now, except that we just have to switch those two numbers.
Yes.
Tell me about Plan 3 does all of this.
Yes, Plan 3.
What does Plan 1 do?
Plan 1 really was just the first plan that we came up with, and then we could just continue to review the numbers and realize we could do better.
Does Plan 1 allow for current council members not being unseated?
Yes. Let me pull it. Whoops, sorry, wrong thing. Let me pull that up.
And tell me, Murray, do you have the racial makeup of the districts now?
Yes, that's on your table one. There are columns that provide the breakdown between white, black, and other minority. It's on both. It's on both the maps and on the table.
Yeah.
What table?
This table. It looks like that.
Yes.
See right here? This is current. See how it says?
Yeah, but I don't see
it. Doesn't see black and white there.
I don't see the racial breakdown.
Down there it is.
But that's in each plan, but it doesn't have the current.
No,
I'm sorry. I do have that information. I don't have it on there. Yes, I do.
And who are your two?
One.
He's pink, I'm gray. I'm two.
That's blue.
Blue, gray.
Blue, yeah, it's intended to be blue. Well, I do have the information. I perhaps don't have it right in front of me.
You got a bunch of critters voting for you out on that farm, don't you?
I think they can move.
I don't think anybody's moved out there, Troy.
I can get that information to you. I don't have it right in front of me. I have it broken down in chunks of the town, but I don't have it as a whole. So are you looking just for District 4 as it is today?
I would like to know the racial breakdown of the districts as they are today.
Okay. I will have to get that information to you.
Okay.
I don't have it. I thought that I had it in front of me, but I don't.
What's up there now? Is that one or?
This is Plan 1. And actually, I'm sorry, I misspoke. The effect would be the same. You would still end up with...
Under either the first two plans, both incumbents in the west of, or east of 113 would temporarily lose their seats.
No.
Right?
Yes.
What's the difference between 1 and 3? Because if with 1, you don't have to flip the districts.
No, you do. You would still end up with the same thing. A great portion of what is currently...
Because I went through all this.
Okay, they're not flipped on here.
No, because the only plan that calls for them to be flipped is 3.
That's what I said. Plan 1, what's the difference? Because in Plan 1, you don't have to flip the difference.
Because the two incumbents would be unseated.
Right. You do have to flip them in.
Yes.
She didn't tell
us
that earlier.
That's same simply problem. A matter of showing you, without making any change to how the districts lay out on the map, what the effect would be. so you would end up having to flip them. So it is going to make a difference to those people who are sort of in the outer reaches of those districts right now.
Can you put map 3 up and blow it up by me? I'm curious to see what this other part is down here. I want to go up and look. Right in here.
Oops, sorry, too far.
To the right?
This circle.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were.
So is this? All right,
that goes out at
2-1. Yeah, what's these streets here? I can't see. This is here.
That would be Washington, crossed by West.
Here's West. So here's Main Street.
Yes.
So this is like from Main Street down here to
West.
West. Okay. I like this. The only thing I don't like is, isn't there any way I could keep the people on my street in my district and carve out a little bit over here?
The mayor actually called me this afternoon and asked me to look at that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's kind of, you know.
It would seem impractical for someone who literally can walk to your house,
right,
not to be able to come to your
house. Just a part of the street, because like right now, I think it's Elroy and I split over that road on Decatur, you know, where Gall Creek is, mm-hmm, that road to the right there. I can't think of what it's called.
Decatur.
But one side of the street's him and the other side of the street's me. And that's not, you know.
Well, the mayor actually called this afternoon and asked me to look at exactly that. So the net effect of that change would be 25 people. So I'm passing out now what I'm calling Plan 3 amended.
Okay.
And it just shows you what the effect of 25, of a change of 25 to districts 1 and 2 would be. And as you see, the numbers are not great.
Make a big difference.
No.
And the furniture out of whack.
One sheet, Mary?
Yes, just one sheet.
So you just get rid of, just make it all blue again and you're done?
Yes.
Yeah. Make that. Yeah.
One of the things that, without having the benefit of the software that the Maryland Department of Planning is working with, one of the things that it's hard to see here is that when you make these changes, shy of actually going out to houses and counting people, you have to do everything by whole census blocks, mm-hmm, because you can't. You can't necessarily split a street in the middle. You have to take the entire block. Census blocks can be based on property lines, streets, railroad tracks, ditches. There can be all sorts of things that back in the day when they established what a census block was, they used as a boundary line. So that's why sometimes you'll end up with a street that is split in half, and there may not, at first glance, be a logical reason why, but then you realize there's a ditch that runs down the middle of the street, and that's what they used as the boundary for the census block.
Over here, that's the other, over there, and one side and the other.
And in rural communities, census blocks sometimes have to become very large areas in order for them to grab a population. You actually do have a number of census blocks that have zero populations, but It's often not as easy as it would seem to make sure that living on this side of the street, you're in one district, and you would think the people on the other side of the street would be in the same district, but that's not the case because of the way the census blocks are established.
Now, have you put John Derrickson in here now since he's been annexed into the
His property is commercial, so it actually has no impact on population.
Because he doesn't have any residential
right. There are areas that are outlined in red, you'll notice around the edges, but they're all commercial, so they have no impact on the population.
This one down here where the town, I guess it's the ballpark.
Yes.
Is that in the town limits?
Yes.
This is from there to serve the sewer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they needed a sewer tap. That's needed that.
Yeah, remember that? They wanted the sewer?
For the concession stand.
And this is John Derrickson's without property right here.
They didn't want that.
I think they did.
Now, just along the lines of how do annexations affect this, you are actually not required to review your districts except when a census is done, unless you feel there's a compelling reason. For instance, some of the annexations or the developments that the town has discussed in the past few years, which may or may not occur in the next 10 years, we don't know. You could at that time say, you know, this is a big enough impact that we choose to examine our districts. However, you are not required to until the next census. Other than that, they would simply be incorporated into whatever district they are in or contiguous to.
Now, this little red that's outlined on Old Ocean City Boulevard, is that news property?
Yeah, I think so. Right there down by Barrett?
Yes. And again, that's commercial.
This does changes.
I know I do.
This does changes too much for me. Plans 2 and 3 it just does too much. I'm talking about the block of land on plan 2, where the 3 is actually located.
Where the what's actually located?
The number 8.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That is currently District 3.
And on Plan 3,
uh-huh,
that becomes District 4. That block of land?
Yes.
Right? And I don't know those people. Those people don't know me.
You got to hear your banging doors.
This keeps you in the same district you are in now. I just give you a different number.
I understand.
Right.
But your people don't change. Your district number does.
Right. In all fairness, some of the people would.
This is Elworth district. Yellow is Elworth district. Where it lives right there, right? So you live right here, and the only truly minority majority district is your, that would be your new district with a new number. But it's still a minority majority district now, it's still with it.
Wait a minute. So my number would change from...
Your number, but not your people.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I got to understand
this. Some.
My number would change from 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Or from 4 to 3.
4 to 3.
Your number would stay the same. You would still be the council member for District 4.
District 4.
District 4, however, would shift. Because you were elected as the council member for District 4. You live in District 4. The town in whatever form cannot change your district. Only the people can do that. And that would only be if you moved into a different district. So what we're effectively trying to do is move the district boundaries around you to effectively keep you in the same district number.
But a big part of what is Elroy's district, now would become 4. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This spot right here.
Yes. Yes, there would be big changes to the areas that each of your districts covered.
Stay the same.
No.
The yellows would go in here. See these yellow lines? All of this here and this around here would be District 3. District 4 would then go all the way around here.
Look over here.
the yellow lines would become District 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the green would then become District 3.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, what I am representing now, Elroy would be representing.
Part of it.
To an extent, that's correct. The areas of 3 and 4 that do not have hashtags over or hash marks over them would essentially be new areas for you. You would be trading those areas.
Just over here. Where is the map that shows what is current?
That's also in your packet, the small map. Yes. That is your current district.
This is.
Yes. Yes.
And you're number 4. So you're here.
And I'm number 4.
Yeah, see that right there, that street right there? Mm-hmm. One side, three,
and number
one
three
side.
Is about
right.
I'm going to be down here where.
I mean, honestly, the only thing.
Okay. Now I'm green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see? But F number 3 is a dot. Mm-hmm. 3 here, see all this property here? Then becomes 4.
That's true, but your district becomes District 3.
No.
He stays with four.
We can't change the council members' district numbers. We have to change the district to match them in this case.
So basically, you represent a whole group, whole new group.
In essence, yes, there would be a large group that would be changing.
Yeah. And no way to support this.
So if you go back to 2, and you
even,
put it off until 180 days.
If you go back to 2, and you put it off for 180 days, you do eliminate the need for a special election at this time. However, when Plan 2 is adopted, you would still be unseating your incumbent. Because you would have an incumbent who should be serving an additional 2 years, but who you would be moving out of their district upon redistricting. Unless you draw the line around his house, which you cannot do because your districts have to be contiguous. Yes. It is certainly not to say that there are not many other ways of looking at this.
Yeah. And what does number 1 do? Number 1 does the same thing as 2.
There were some minor district census block differences. But number 1, in essence, number 1 would have the same effect. 3 and 4 would still be, you would be in the same place. You would still end up with those two council seats being unseated.
First of all, I need a map I can see. I can't see these maps.
I have copies of the maps that the Maryland Department of Planning provided me. I don't have multiple copies of them. But they don't show you anything more than... They show you what the district effects would be. They don't have our current districts overlaid with them. But I certainly do have that here if you wish to look at one of those. The thing of it is, this is something we struggled with in 2000. At that point, it was maintaining Councilmember Brittingham's seat. You can see the way we had to sort of grab a piece of land for, I'll call it the Green District. And that was to, in effect, get the numbers right, but to maintain Councilmember Brittingham's seat. Because if you think about the lay of the land out there, there are houses there along Flower Street, but there's really nothing behind them. There's no population in those areas behind those houses on Flower Street where Councilmember Brittingham currently lives. So you were effectively grabbing or keeping a small number within that district. And then in order to make District 4 more equitable, you had to grab the area between Schoolfield and Maple and Flower Street. And as I said, it is certainly not to say that we can't continue to look at these numbers and reconfigure things. But in the end, it may not be possible to come up with numbers that are proper and maintain them. I just don't know. Until she has her software, I just don't know.
Going back to this page, this group of numbers.
Yes.
What's current, right?
The top section of the current.
Numbers that's current.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And District 4 is 783.
Yes.
And District 3 is 1383.
It's
1383.
Correct. Yeah. And Decatur Farms is most likely the biggest.
It seems like you could take 600 or whatever. It seems like you could take 300 from District 3 and another 100 from District 2. And it'll be okay.
If you
could find those blocks.
Right, right. If the blocks line up, yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I mean, if that is possible, that could be. Until I have it in front of me, it's hard to say.
We've already done a little bit of what he's suggesting here because I'm no longer in here now, and these are all flush with houses. So, you know, that's pulling something. You know, that makes sense, you know, to do that.
Because any of your plans are taken pretty much almost even with the 1125 you
right.
started with. I mean, you are doing it. You know, any three of those plans, you're bringing them all in line with 1110. I don't know where you got them all, but you evened it up. That's the whole reason why we got to do the redistricting.
Right.
Are you talking about this little blue thing down here?
Mm-hmm.
And bringing this green down there?
Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you look at the plan one. This is getting really messy in here when we're rolling across the highway, you know, to jump into three, you know.
Unfortunately, it's not always as ideal as it would be to have the nice, neat lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate just part of the process.
And what's the only thing coming ahead of us that we might have to be, any developing going ahead that was going to affect that would just be out Stephen Decatur if that gets done?
The only other one that I'm aware of that's been on the table was Main Street Place, if I have that name correct,
by Tripoli
Street.
How many people do you think are going to be in there?
It's called commercial.
Is it commercial?
Main Place.
No.
Near the park. Near Stephen Decatur Park.
That's 40 homes.
32 homes. 32 times 2. Yes. 56.
Right.
Maybe.
The way it stands right now.
Yeah.
I think they would be incorporated into 4.
One suggestion for whatever the next, obviously the next meeting we have, is to see if she can, whatever we're considering, that map can be prepared for each district so that the streets can be big enough that we can see what. And
okay.
You lay them down side by side and figure out what connects to what. Because even with that magnifying glass, I think it would be very
good. I mean, I'm okay with whatever you do, but I just would like to have my whole street not shop and drive that way. But, you know, whatever you need to do down here, that's fine with me.
Yeah, but the thing, just like you said, we don't need
it. But what are some possible, I think, you know, that that seemed like a no-brainer on fixing that, on fixing the overlap of those few homes in District 1, and take them back to District 1 and leaving District 2 intact over there. Because there's already some loss there in the Washington Street to Broad Street area. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm confused as to why the reconfiguration of currently 4 and 3 has to be divided up so that both council people, it seems like there ought to be at least one option where both council people could stay in their district. I mean, that's what surprises me.
Well,
do you have this map over here?
Existing.
Well, most, yeah, without the hash marks. This is it.
Is that it?
Yes.
That's the current.
Yes.
Seems like to me, where my district is the one that's sharp here. Right?
Yes.
You need to get
And district, we need to take some from District 3 and some from District 2. Is that right?
I would think that would have to be the case.
Why can't we extend green down to here? Go up.
Well, keep in mind, what you just pointed to at the bottom there is Stephen Decatur Park. So, for instance, it's a big piece of land, but there's no population.
Okay, but we could tent until we get to population.
Possibly, yes.
Go up.
Okay.
No.
The picture will pick it up.
Oh. Sorry. Wrong way.
Okay. And then.
Let me. There we go.
You could take some of this and put here.
Right.
And everybody have.
And that's Germantown Road where the apartments are and stuff. That's a lot of people in there. You know the apartment houses? Right there, the blue?
In the current District 4, in green.
You could add to the green by taking some of blue. And you could build blue back by taking some of the yellow.
One other item that I do have that I can pass out shows population numbers. It does not show blocks, so unfortunately it's hard to see exactly where the lines are drawn. But it does give you a good idea of numbers. One thing to keep in mind, as Lisa just said, you know that there are apartments down there. There's one for each of you. There are apartments down there that have a lot of people. However, the unfortunate fact is they are not typically people who fill out census forms. So therefore, the population that you're reflecting here does not necessarily reflect the true population of the area.
But we're basing what we are doing on the census tract,
yes.
Not what we think is there.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And that's what you have to. You may know that the number should be say 100, but if the census tract only says 50, that's the number you have to use. And so that's where it gets difficult sometimes to get the population numbers to line up.
Okay, just like Lisa said, just like you said. If we got this apartment building and we think there's a whole lot of people in there, but the census tract says 50, we got to use the 50.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
This is Washington Street.
Do you want to explain how to read this, Mary?
Well, as you can see, these are numbers laid over areas. They don't show you the if you ever have occasion to go out to the actual census website, you'll get a better sense of what the census blocks look like. The numbers in red are the adjusted population numbers, and that's what I talked about very early in the meeting, the fact that while the actual census gives you one number, the Department of Census updates those numbers throughout the decade. So the red number is what they have adjusted the population numbers to be. The blue numbers indicate the white population, and black indicates the black population. They do not show the other minority populations on here.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? The blue is...
There's actually a key in the upper...
Oh, I see it here, okay. Total adjusted, total white, total African-American.
And so there are areas where it's very easy to grab a number and say, okay, I know what this number is. For instance, that area at the corner, Lisa, that you were talking about that has Cheryl and Nancy, uh-huh. You can see it's very easy. There's 25 people there. You can grab those blocks without any difficulty. But when you get into the areas where the streets aren't laid out quite as neatly, and some of the boundaries may involve railroad tracks or ditches or property lines, it's hard to tell exactly where those numbers apply. So until we have her with her actual census block software, we can make some very good educated calculations about what the effects of those numbers would be, but we may not be able to get the real solid data. I have no doubt, I shouldn't say that, I should never say that, I feel like we can probably come up with districts that don't involve flip-flopping. However, what the end shape of those districts may end up being, I don't know. They could be very oddly shaped.
I mean, what you know, what you're suggesting by making the green bigger and the yellow going over the blue, is that, do you think, makes sense?
I would think so.
As far as numbers go.
My instinct says that it should work well. But see, if you come down here,
you gotta look at
right above Bottle Branch, you've got a 514 there. I don't know what area that covers.
I got you.
So some of those numbers can really throw you for a loop when you go to grab that census block. It can really skew it.
That 514 must be all Decatur Farm.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. But you see, even within that, there are breakdowns.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. Even within Decatur Farm,
yes.
There are breakdowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
So looking at this, I'm not able to tell you that number 514. Is that a combination of these numbers? Is that one block? Doesn't seem like it should be. And unfortunately, by the time if she sent me a map that actually showed the census blocks on them, it became unreadable. So
we're very dependent on this lady being here. Is there any way she can be here when she can? Is it possible with her equipment to manipulate what she has? Maps and statistics so that we can actually see.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's the beauty of the software she's working with. She can click on a piece and say, okay, now this is District 3, and it will automatically adjust all of your numbers. It's really just amazingly simple.
It seems to me, I don't think we'll ever figure out what we have and what we are trying to get without that process.
Right.
And that's the way it can be all very transparent. We can all be seeing at the same time.
Yes.
And I think the thing is what we would need to do is maybe be somewhat prepared is at least outline what some of the goals are and what we think are strategies. Mm-hmm. Until we manipulate the cell blocks, or the cell, I guess that's what they are.
Census blocks.
Census blocks, Census blocks.
Cell blocks.
I think she'll come. I don't think that's a problem. It's just because she is coming from Baltimore, it's kind of on her to say when she can be here, and then we have to accommodate that. That's the difficulty.
The biggest thing is if she can be here in the evening.
That I don't know. I'm not going to speak for that. I don't. She did say she could come back, but I don't know that she was thinking in the evening.
Well,
but then again, people love to come to Berlin.
It's the Eastern Shore. We have to go there all the time.
Yes.
I go there numerous times a month.
She was
very
accommodating, so I don't think it's out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know.
I just don't want to speak without knowing.
We probably won't see her, though, after the first year.
Well, yeah, because, and that's the thing to keep in mind as well. Every county and every municipality is redistricting right now.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it seems to me, obviously it's more important to get it right, that we certainly want to try to accommodate the Worcester County Elections Board. Mm-hmm. That they do a great job, but I think that we may need a little more than mid-January just to figure out what it is that's going to be right for the next 10 years.
Well,
it's a 10-year situation.
And I would say I will certainly call them and see what kind of flexibility they have on that. However, with the holidays, with having to have her come, I think we're probably going to go well beyond that.
I would
suggest, unless they say, well, we can do it in March, I would suggest we just wait and try to time it more with our regular election.
But the thing is,
actually,
regardless of when we do it, we don't want it to have to be used until our regular election.
Well, and it wouldn't be, yes.
So
the only, it wouldn't.
So that's why I'm wondering why would there be a need, if our election's not until the first Tuesday in October, why is mid-January? What's the difference between mid-January, mid-February, then February? I'm not sure.
Well, because they have to compile it with everything else and get the voter registration cards out, and there's actually a lot of work on their end as a result of our election.
But we didn't have a choice about when this information was available to us.
Exactly.
So we got to work within what we got. And that's all I'm saying is I think we can try to accommodate in every way we can, but we can't rush this.
No.
Just to meet a deadline.
It is a bit artificial.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing is, I assumed it would be our intention to get this squared away as soon as we can.
Sure.
Because we got so many other things,
right.
But that we were going to take the time to do it right.
Right.
So I would just say this to let them know as soon as possible that we don't think the mid-January is feasible, but that we would aim to do it as early as possible after that. And not thinking in terms of late spring, but just we've got to see something that works. And I think once we see what works, we'll know it.
Could we get these electronically?
Sure.
This and the maps?
Sure.
Including this map?
Yes.
Okay.
Refresh my memory from what you said. Approximately how many people have we grown from 2000 to 2000? 2010. Is it about 1,000?
Yes, I would say roughly.
Round numbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most of them are over there, or let me put it, 70% are probably in the there.
I don't know that
based
I would be able. Well, yeah. If you said
707.
Yeah. Yeah, if you looked at that number and assumed that 500 or 700, whichever of those numbers encompasses the whole area, then yes, I would say obviously Decatur Farm is the biggest single.
And everything else is still 2 and 1.
Yeah.
We did that. We just
got to
have a software. And we don't want to have
it.
Frank
Mill
150.
I do think it's 30. We're probably, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be difficult to maintain a minority. I think after that, it's just however we can make it fit together.
Well, Dean's district is the majority-minority district.
Yes.
Yes.
And personally, I'll just say, I think that for continuity's sake, regardless of who's filling the position, I think the folks who live in that district would want to continue to be the majority.
No matter what, redistricting is going to throw people off balance. They're going to end up in a different district than they
some
were.
People, yeah.
It's inevitable. That's the very nature of the beast.
And I think
but a change like that would be.
We need to minimize that as much as possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the greatest impact in terms of percentages when it comes to minority representation will be in what is currently Councilmember Brittingham's district. Just looking at whatever you're looking here, that's where Decatur Farm is. That's where the big impact is. It just seems like that's where the biggest
impact is. That's
where
it was before.
That's where it was before, So I'm just, throwing that out, and I think we all recognize it up front, and we just do the best we can to maintain as much continuity as we can. One of the unintended consequences of growth is that the districts are going to change in configuration as long as the town grows.
Yes.
And if we stop growing, then we've got a lot of worse problems than this.
Yeah. And I'm only able to go back so far in finding old district maps, but if you look back over 50 years, the district boundaries we're looking at right now could be very different from what they were 50 years ago. Or whenever, if you look at communities that have always had districts.
And when you send the information electronically, could you include the racial breakdown now of the districts?
Yes, I do have that data. I know that I do. I just think I had not printed it out, but it's in one of my electronics. So the next thing then would be for me to see what kind of availability she has. If I ask her if she can stay for an evening meeting, would early evening, say if we started at 4:30, would that be feasible? I'm just trying to kind of get scenarios in my head.
He's available
he retired.
In the day or night.
He retired.
I would say late afternoon is feasible.
Okay.
Roy and G are probably going to need a good week, 10 days ahead to be able to schedule.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'll be able to schedule with her probably. I'm thinking she won't be able to schedule anything until mid-January. So we should have good advance notice.
Okay.
Maybe she'll be able to give me several options
everybody will have the information to kind of absorb what we've got or what's been done so far.
Yeah. And by all means, if you look at the population map and there are certain areas that you feel, let's look at this, let's see what happens right in this area, then make note of that, and that can be the kind of thing that we concentrate on to get the best view of where we stand.
And like I say, and I know you said she has the capability, one of the things that might help us in that next meeting is the ability to put on the screen.
Yes, that's exactly how.
A district at a time, and then if we move something over.
Okay, a district at a time.
Look at, let's say, District 2 and then District 3 and the consequences to both.
Right.
And then the numbers and the borders and all that.
You really want to be able to see the streets.
The maps that Dave is in the process right now of getting better maps
this
done.
This one was helpful because you could read the streets on this.
And that's, of course, the one that she gave me.
Okay, we'll work on that.
Dave is working on all new mapping for the town, so hopefully that's something that we'll have shortly anyway.
Good.
You can send these to us tomorrow or
Thanks,
Bill.
So other than the paper that you got tonight, the only other one is the population one, correct?
Yes.
Everything else is what you were given in paper, but you would like to see electronically.
Yep.
Okay.
You want to send that one back because
I'm
trying to
get it
too. Thanks, guys. Okay.
All right.
So basically, you'll just notify us of when the date will work, and I guess any night other than the council night.
Okay, I will hopefully come up with something very soon.
Great, Wayne. Great. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot more to it.
It is. It's always interesting.
But they shouldn't rush us. I mean, we should be able to absorb and look at it because it is.
I think.
Is the meeting adjourned?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Someone wanna? Okay.